to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read verse 25. Verse 25 of the 25th verse of the 12th chapter of Hebrews. That is, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For faith speaketh not, who refused him that spoke on earth. Much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I'm going to talk to you this morning, you here and the people in this television audience, concerning depression. That seems to be a disease of this 20th century, the latter part of it. Never have people got so wealthy by listening to the troubles of other people. The psychiatric, psychological world have majored on the problems of depression. They can only get to the symptoms, the cause of it. It's never really touched. I believe this morning from this book, I'm going to talk to you about that depression, what caused it, and in the finding of the cause, the cure follows if you obey. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Is a command of God. Here the apostle writing in the book of Hebrews, the commands, the words, the Bible, God talking to us. He said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now we like to divide the Bible up, kind of segregate it here and there, and nip, they could take what we want out of it, leave the rest of it, explain it away. We can accept all of it that we like in a literal sense. But when it comes to those things that we don't agree with or don't like to apply to our lives, it's very easy for us to kind of push that aside and try to find some spiritual meaning to what otherwise would have been naturally coming to our hearts. I know a lot of people, they can talk all day about tithing. Amen. They've got all kinds of ideas. They'll give a dollar here to the poor somewhere and there and explain away, because they do not want to be held accountable for a systematic giving to God. But the Bible says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. I have said this so many times, but you have to keep saying it, because it's a central theme of the Bible, that God's purpose for every believer is conformity to Christ. I am birth of God, that God may see his Son in me. There's nothing that pleases God that isn't of Christ. And so being born of the Spirit of God, it is the purpose of the Almighty to bring each and every one of us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now he must at all costs then bring us to a place of self-emptying. That has to happen. There can never be Christ portrayed in me as long as clandestine is the product that the public sees. God, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, no matter how much the gurus of religion tell you that there's not going to be any real tests and difficulties of life, whatever it takes, if you walk with God, he's going to bring you to a place of self-empty. Because it's only on those grounds can Christ be really formed in our lives. Now, Christ's mind must become our mind, according to Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. And for me to ever become like him, that mind must be my mind. Every thought must be brought into captivity. And I allow that mind to be my mind. The mind is everything. I was just listening to a special concerning coke and alcohol on the NBC special, or one of the specials, and they were talking how that affects the human brain, the pleasure senses in that brain, where we derive such pleasure here this morning from worshiping God. Alcohol moves on that and raises it, then lowers it, and that becomes, but what it does, it damages that magnificent thing that controls everything. You know, the brain is a very selfish thing. They never declare you dead till the brain waves have stopped. But if something happens, you begin to bleed to death. That brain will begin to shut down everything to save whatever's left for itself. But the brain is a source, the mind is a source of ability. But it's not only that, it is the mind, what I think, that is I become a product of whatever I allow my mind to be, what I think. I am a product of the ideas that come to me that I accept and make my own. And the very image of that person is shaped by the mind. You take two people live together for a lot of years. They love each other. And it's not long till people begin to wonder if they're brothers and sisters. It just works that way. And so the Bible says we must have his mind. I must think like he thinks if I'm ever going to be like him. And it is the will of God. We cannot make this be, though. I want to press this on your mind. We cannot make this mind, and we cannot make ourselves become like him. It is beyond us. But it is a matter of wanting it bad enough to let it happen. All the dynamics are in the grace and the Spirit of God. And if I want it to happen bad enough, I let it happen. I'm willing to die to whatever else I want, that that grace may work in me to the point that God's Son may be revealed in me. Paul said it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. God has no purpose for this church on 11th Street except Beaumont have a glimpse of Christ and what Christ is. It's not the bickering of religion. It's not the games of religion. But it is my allowing Christ to be formed in me. And the dynamics for this to happen are already in motion by the grace of God. You must know that grace is the unmerited favor of God. When Adam sinned and sold the human race down the drain, God owed that human race nothing. He could have wiped it off, had ever right. He told that man what to do. He said, "You'll not eat of this tree. The rest of them you can have." He set the bounds of that man's walk with himself. And when that man walked out of those bounds, he walked out willfully. God owed him nothing. He has no obligation to us. It was his grace that initiated the plan of redemption. It's because of his grace and not a debt on the part of God. He owed us nothing. It is the unmerited favor of God. He's a good God. And his thoughts toward me are not evil, but they're good. And I have to know this, because if I walk the pathway of God, it will lead me through the shadows of a valley of death. I will face hell. I will face the lion's den. I will face the fires. I will face a lot of hell if I'm ever conformed. But I must know that it's good for me, that his will toward me is good and not evil. No matter what I face as I walk this pathway, I must know that. If I know that he's a good God. Oh, not in the sense that these people are trying to give you a Rolls Royce. You got money and want one, buy it. Amen. But don't come to these altars praying for it. Pray that we'll be able to reach the 3,000 million people that never heard the name of Jesus. But if we walk, if we're conformed to that image, then that pathway is going to lead us into some difficult circumstances. It's going to lead us, but I must know that he's a good God and that his will toward me is good and not evil. And if I'm walking with God, whatever I face in life is to work the good of God in my life. Amen. The three Hebrew children must face the fiery furnace. Daniel must go to a lion's den. Joseph must go to that jail. And it doesn't matter what the religious psychologists have to say. It is the way of God in bringing me to the image of Christ so that through our lives the very good of God can be seen. Hallelujah. Spiritual growth is always a process and never a crisis. The crises move us a little, but we can never make everything out of a crisis. There's no place in your life that you can say, "I was sanctified holy," that the old man is dead, that he's never going to rise up again. Our good people made that mistake, but it don't work that way. No, sir. Spiritual growth is a process and never a crisis. I must never hang my body on a crisis. There's been crises. I've met God in some wonderful ways in my life. I've had God. I know he talked to my heart. But I could not say, "Here is the end of the line, and with this crisis, I've been brought in the hall of God. No, sir. It's a process. A process is a series of steps bringing about a result. Listen to me. Process is a series of steps that bring about a result. The first step is a point of inception. You can never move till that happens. There must be that point of inception. Inception. The second step is a progression of the operation. And the third step is a point of fixation or result. In addition, if a process as it is with the Christian walk is a product of intelligent design, it is also a point of conception and a planned purpose. That point of inception, I was born of God. Hallelujah. I said I was birthed of the Almighty. And it is the purpose of God that that which is born of God take on the total image of Christ the man. It is the will of God that that happens. I must know that. And as I move with that, God's purpose being fulfilled in my life. Now the only goal allowable then to the believer is to bring joy to the heart of God. Are you going to hear me this morning? There's so much emphasis in that religious world placed on ourselves. Amen. All the courses have been written lately. You go to a church. I was in one in Connecticut in a preacher's meeting, very much like we had here. And they took these old song books and singing songs. I said to the pastor, you go most places in this world today and sing these songs, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And sing about the blood and sing about those things. They think you've got a new course. I said, they think you've found a new course. And I can tell you, I found an old song book once that I brought home to my wife. We've been kind of a collector of old religious books. And I found that book, the songs in it were about the attributes of God, and they weren't even named. They sang about the attributes of the Almighty. Oh, listen to me. Listen. We, in this age, everything is geared to self. The prosperity, all of this stuff is so that you become the beneficiary. But God is saying to us that the only goal and the only pursuit of your life should be to bring joy to the heart of God. Joy to the heart of God. Let me tell you something. If what I've just said is the truth, that the only pleasure God has is in His Son, then there's nothing about me can bring joy to God except to the degree that Christ is alive in this heart. There's nothing about me that God is pleased with. He said, you have to die. No flesh can glory in my sight. And the only way God can have any joy in this life is for my life to be conformed to the image of God. God's only joy is Christ. To the degree that I'm conformed to that image, I bring joy to the heart of God. When we become so distracted by the world that we lose sight of the fact that our choices in life can bring joy to God, we're in a tragic place when I forget that if I make the right choice, I make God happy. When I walk the way I'm supposed to walk, there's joy in the heart of the Father. It doesn't matter that I suffer. It doesn't matter that Nehemiah passes through the storm he passed through. God made him aware that what he was doing made heaven happy. And so Nehemiah could withstand and stand. You hear me? When the Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. He's not talking about religious calisthenics. I praise God to shout, to dance, to run. Amen. But I can tell you, I've watched the Neo-Pentecostal. They said, now folks, the joy of the Lord, I think. Let's get happy. Everybody, we're going to dance on this one. That's not what he's talking about. I'll tell you the strength is when whatever I'm doing, if it carries me to a prison or it hangs me on a gallows, if it brings joy to God, I have strength to walk on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If I know when Bedford is in that, and when Bunyan, rather, was in that prison at Bedford, amen, he couldn't even sit down. His knees hit the front. His back would hit the back. He couldn't even sit down. That demon-possessed priest come every day, and when he offered him food, wouldn't even remove the refuse, and said to him, if you will deny what you believe, we'll let you out of here. He said, why should I want out of here? Any place that Christ is a kingdom now for me. He could stand that cell
because he knew God had joy in a man that stood for him. You listen to me. We fold up when the thing hinges on ourselves, when our prosperity doesn't work, when things don't go like we want them. But it doesn't matter if it's in Africa or Asia or the lion's den. If this is bringing joy to the heart of God, I can walk that way. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, when we fail to bring joy to His heart, to God, our strength fails. Because that's our strength. Now the life that joys God's heart comes from hearing what God has to say and responding to it. See ye that you refuse not him that speaketh. Amen. Hearing what he says. He's talking to you. You step, the message comes. Your heart is touched. God's talking to you. And the joy of God, the wonder, the pleasure of God comes when one of us hears what he's saying and responds to what he's saying, regardless of the cost to ourselves. It is a joy to God. See that you refuse not. We must accept the responsibility that God has placed upon us. We think because we have the Holy Spirit that when God moves, all we have to do is be in neutral. I can remember 38, 39 years ago here in an old country Pentecostal church, people jump up and say, when God baptized me in the Holy Ghost, he cut my head off. That's the reason it never went anywhere. I said, that's the reason it never went anywhere. No, sir, I'm responsible. I must accept that responsibility. I'm responsible for hearing God out. Then I'm responsible for putting into action in my life whatever God has said. It isn't putting it in neutral and just letting something happen. I must accept it. I must hear it. I must then move with God. I'm responsible to hear what God is saying. Second, I must seek God. The Bible said God is a treasure. Amen. And he said, those that find him are those that diligently seek him. He that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that is a reward of those that put it in neutral, not on your life. Those that go to Sunday school, no. Those that diligently seek God are found of God. Those that diligently seek him. If I don't seek him, I won't find him. I said, if I don't seek him, I will not find him. I can go along, make believe. But I'm going to tell you, there's a real something happens to a human when they conform to that image. Amen. There's a real something happens to them. When God works and Holy Spirit works in that life, there's a change that not only you know happens, but your neighbor knows it happened. Amen. I said, your neighbor knows. Your wife knows. Your husband knows. Amen. There's something took place in that life that just cannot be discarded. It's reality. Now, I read somewhere that when light is focused into a laser, when it's focused into a laser, and that laser takes a hold of an object. Listen to me. Takes a hold of an object. If that object isn't bound by gravity, then that laser will push that object into the speed of light. It'll shove it on out into the speed of light if it isn't bound by gravity. Amen. But if that object, when that laser touches it, if that object is bound by gravity, it'll break it up into millions of pieces. It'll just smash it and break it and totally destroy it. Let me tell you, if there's a resistance to the laser, it smashes it. This book said God is light. And like the laser, his coming into my vessel will not leave it where it is. It's the purpose of God that he push me along at the speed of God. Woo-wee. It is the very purpose of God that God being light coming into this. It is the will of God to push us on into the time and in the purpose of God. You listen to me quiet. It is the will of God, see, to push us along. He's coming in to move me into his time and into his purpose until Christ is forming me and I become a container of light. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, he said, then shall your light break forth as the morning. John 1 and 4 said, in him was life, L-I-F-E, and that life was the light of men. Isaiah 58 and 8 says, Then shall your light break forth as a morning. It is the purpose of God. At that conception, that light comes into me. I must not resist that. It'll break me up. You hear me? It'll break me up. But if I let it, it'll push me on into the timing of God and the purpose of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's come to move us to His speed. I don't force God to go at my speed. You hear me? I don't force God to go at my speed. He's come to move me along at His speed. If I'm bound by things when He moves me, like the laser and the object, I'll break into 1,000 pieces. How do I get into the timing of God and the speed of God? By dropping off those things that are resisting the Holy Ghost. You hear me? By dropping off those things. It don't make any difference how much pleasure they give you. If they don't bring pleasure to God, then drop them off. That's what's keeping you out of orbit. That's what's keeping this church from being pushed to the speed of life. There's so much trash hanging on us. Amen. We've made God nothing but a source of our pleasure, but our pleasure is in seeing God have pleasure. To see God pleased. There's no joy like the joy. We've tried to make God our servant. Amen. That's Baal religion. I'm born to serve God. Amen. I move with God by dropping off. I feel that wind drag. Amen. That covetous spirit. I drop it off. Amen. Oh, yes, sir. I drop that off. That has no business there. Amen. On my life. Those earthly, fleshly desires. Amen. And I come to realize that God has got me in a situation. Amen. He's got me in a situation. It's the will of God for everybody to be saved. But everybody isn't going to get saved. And maybe everybody isn't going to get saved today, some of them tomorrow. And God sometimes has us into a place of buffeting by those who ought to be the closest to us, that there may be a revelation to our own hearts of the things that's keeping us moving along with the timing of God. We listen to these gurus who tell us that if anything harsh is going on in your life, it's the devil. God had nothing to do with that. Let me tell you something. Some things are not easy to knock off. Some things take the crushing, breaking. Some things we have to pass through, but we may be able to move in to drop off. You know, some things I wanted to get rid of when I got saved. I was tired of looking. I found out, amen, that what a terrible thing tobacco was on your health. Nobody had to beg me to get rid of it. I had enough sense of that in the beginning. Amen. I had some things about me. I wanted to get rid of it. Some things I wasn't so interested in getting rid of. So I justified it. But did you find yourself fluttering? Is that life trying to push you? Amen. You find yourself pulling off the left to right because the course can't be straight as you're shoved along by God. I want to say to you this morning that the basic cause of all depression, especially among the people of God, is our resistance to the Holy Spirit. You can go step there and let Him give you drugs, make a drug addict out of you. You can sit there and talk about your depression all you want to. I can tell you, get your act right with God, and joy will come to that heart. Oh, let's counseling. You probe the heart. What you're doing wrong? What's God saying to you that you won't do? Amen. Where is it at in your life? The basic cause of depression is the fact that we're hanging on to things that God said for us to turn loose of. Amen. God talked to us. God's speaking to us. The Holy Ghost in the believer is there to glorify God. Everybody believes that. Say hallelujah. He's in us to glorify God. That's the basic reason of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is that we glorify the Almighty. Now, when there's a resistance to His purpose, amen, when the Holy Spirit cannot move me along in the purpose of God because of something in me that's contrary to His will, then frustration sets in. Become frustrated. I just don't understand. You hear that more out of people. I read
in this ministry book, a seven-day Advent book somebody sends me. Got a lot of fine articles in it. One of them, though, had to deal with a preacher in depression. Why, the book itself was depression. Sound like every preacher on earth was depressed. I said to my wife, I said, I've suffered a very little of that 15, 20 minutes at a time. Amen. When something hits you pretty hard. But realize, amen, that there's not a whole lot I can do about that. Why should I destroy myself? But when I realize, listen, when I realize that the cause of it, amen, if it's a permanent thing, is because of my resistance to God. Amen. My resistance. That there's something in me that God has dealt with, that I refuse to turn loose that covetous spirit. Oh, listen, this is idolatry. There's nothing on this earth so resist God is rebellion, which the Bible said is idolatry. You hear me? The Bible said that covetousness is idolatry, and rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Amen. To rebel against whatever God says. He tells you what to do. You have no options. You belong to Christ. You're a human being absolutely without an option. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And when He begins to deal with our heart, He knows. I know standing on this side of the situation. I've talked to missionaries around the world. Amen. When they first felt the call of God to be missionaries, this is a true missionary. You know, one that's really called of God. Amen. I've talked to him. He said, I don't want to go out there. I don't want to raise my family out there. I want to raise them here. And there came a stubbornness, but the persistence of God. And when they went, they found a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because in the will of God is where the families lay as well, not in an affluent society. My God, look at our world. Amen. The drug culture all the way down to the grade school. The homosexuality that's taken on an evangelical fervor in this nation. Listen, happiness is the will of God, wherever that is. And if I resist that, I'm frustrated. Call a man to preach. Woman, you take people, I've seen they just want to preach. I worry about that. Just, you know, get saved and want to preach. That ain't something people want to do. No, till you do it. But once you do it, it'd be a terrible thing to be something else in the will of God. I see folks, they just got the preacher's itch. I don't have a lot of time. I'll just submit and get some scratching, and they'll be through with that after a while. That thing gnawed a man night and day. Preach. No. Yes. No. Finally tells you why. You better tell him before calamity happens. You better get him out. Coming back from Harwood, been a preaching, babies asleep in the back, been to about 2, Larry 3. He said, I'm going to tell you something. You better move on out before something goes wrong here bad. Just don't continue on this way. Oh, listen, that's an office thing. You need to go to that office. Tell that man I won't be back. I mean, I'm 31 years old, retired. I mean, retired. Everything's in my lap. I mean, I live in 100 yards where my family is. Took me 40 minutes to get through the first part of it, went back and played the rest of it with my boy and girl in the front yard. Amen. I mean, drive along 10 times a day to the house, wave at my wife. Amen. Everything's everything. I said, I'd just rather support a preacher. I'll tell you what, when I got in that car, loaded down what little we had, and 2 children and a wife, and waved by to that, and preached the first meeting, they couldn't have offered me enough money to get me back on that villain lease. Oh, not on your life. Let me tell you, what are you saying? I'm saying that the frustration sets in when you resist. Depression comes from you not allowing God. You sit here this morning, you're depressed. Amen. Have a look at your life. I said, have a look at your life. Be honest with yourself. God deals with you. Amen. You're never faithful. Amen. You wind up, I'm talking about somebody in here depressed. God deals with you about church, and you're just half-hearted about it. He deals with you about supporting the work of God. Amen. It's a spasmodic thing. You never give to Him, not even which is His, much less an offering. And you wonder what's going on. You say, well, nothing's going on with me. Well, I can tell you one thing. It's just around the corner. It's just around the corner. Amen. The basic cause of it all. I become depressed because I cannot cope with that frustration. Amen. I cannot cope. Always running up against something that doesn't work. And the reason it don't work is because back there somewhere God dealt with me and I never let him have his way. I never let him have his way. God dealt with that heart. Amen. God told me what to do. Amen. And I resisted that. Now there's never going to be any cure for that until I go back there and straighten that out. Amen. Tell God, repent of that failure. Repent of that. And say to God, I am going to do what you tell me. Amen. I am going to obey what I heard out of you however long ago it was. The basic cause of it all is the resistance to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to push us out. And there's that in us that's keeping us from getting there. And if we're not careful, it's going to break us up. You'd be surprised how many people have met neurological stuff. Now, that psychiatrist, he said religion drove him crazy. The priest said he didn't want to preach up there. They don't want you up there. No, no, said his trouble is religion. I said, I expect that's right. Yes, sir. They go up there, and a fellow walking up and down, he's a preacher. I'm that man. I'm the preacher. I'm this. You know, he's up there. They're feeding drugs, trying to get him calmed down. I can tell you where he is. God put a finger on that life somewhere back down the road. His problem isn't religion. His problem is disobedience. I said, his problem is disobedience because the Holy Spirit dealt with that life, and he never allowed the Holy Spirit to work his will. Amen. Never allowed him to work his will. That man that comes and sets his step in the presence of God, and the Holy Spirit deals with him about being saved. Amen. He can walk out and resist that. He can walk away from it. I can tell you one thing, troubles will come out of that. Amen. Say what he wills. He can be ever successful. But you can get close to him and talk to him, and down on the inside, he's haunted. I said, he's haunted. There's something on the inside because back there, he sat in the presence of God. And God said to him, I want your life. And he walked out without giving it to God. That frustration is there. But that believer, every day is being conformed. Every day we're moving toward that image. If we're moving with the purpose of God, every day. You know, it's difficult sometimes for you and I to see what's wrong with it. Oh, but we're perfected, you know. I know when I got rid of tobacco, I was perfected. I fought that for a year. Finally, I said, I'm sanctified. But I hadn't got 100 yards down the road till I found there's a temper in there that he never could dig up until he got rid of that other. It's always something, always a bump here. Amen, always something. And it's hard for us. That's the reason many times, that's the reason that God, if he loves us, listen, you say, I don't do what he tells me. I'm not frustrating. I'll tell you, you're a reprobate. You're not a son. No, you're not a son. You live in disobedience to God, and you got peace in yourself. You're not his son. You're not his daughter. No, you mark that down. You take. He loves me. Whom he loves, he's chastening. Amen. He said, I don't like what's in you, boy. And looks like you ain't never going to be able to see it. I can put you where you will be able to see it. I can move you in between some things, and you will be able to see it. I can allow certain things come. Let it storm, rain on you a little while. Amen. Let things begin to push a little hard. You'll begin to recognize where you are. Now, I'm saying, I want you to hear me. I said in the beginning of this that he's a good God, and his will toward me is good and not evil. So no matter whatever he puts in my pathway, he put it there for my good. Amen. There's no way human beings can look at Joseph. Brother sold him into slavery. Amen. Then he finally works his way up and got a pretty good job running a man's household, and his wife tried to seduce him, had too much dignity for that. Then she told her husband he tried to rape her, and he gets thrown into a prison forgotten by everybody. In the prison, there's no way on this earth that you can ever, on the human side, see how that's working good. But I can tell you, he can never be prime minister till he passes through that jail. That poor brat with a many-colored coat cannot rule that world, mister. It has to be a man that's emptied himself and rules in the face of God. Joseph riding that second chariot to Pharaoh. Somebody said, I tell you, you've been through it, haven't you? No, sir. I haven't been through nothing. I was on my way to the throne. I'm on my way to the throne. I'm on my way to the image of Christ. I've been through some things. I know a lot of people have been through a lot worse. But I can tell you there may be a lot worse ahead of us to get us to that image. Amen. I was in Bulgaria, preached all the way from Sofia to Varna. I imagine 10,000 people, if you add them all up, whatever building we is in, it is stacked to capacity, four deep, on the floor, every aisle standing, all the way from the capital to the Black Sea. Amen. I preached night after night. Wouldn't let me but one night. An old gentleman at that time, he's gone on to heaven now. His name was Chernoff. He's 83 years old. He was the interpreter. Amen. He was in jail with this Popoff that has been over here so long and wrote all these books and raised all his money. He and Popoff were in prison. Popoff wrote that book, Tortured for Christ, I believe it was. And I asked Brother Chernoff, he and I were riding between cities one day and in the back seat, and I said to him, Brother Chernoff, did you really suffer like that? Did they put you through that? Were you degraded in the manner that book says you were degraded? The old man riding, you talk about a prince, an apostle, a saint of God. He's looking right down that road, and I'm sitting in the middle, I'm looking at him. And I saw out of that eye tears begin to flow down and drip off of that chin onto that shirt. And it was a full 5 minutes before he said anything. And when he said, he never took his eyes off the road, looking straight ahead. He said, Brother Twendenen, I never suffered like the Apostle Paul. Everything that happened to me was for good. He said, I hold no ill will for anything. I just want them saved. I just want them saved. Listen, our purpose is to bring joy to the heart of God. Listen, our purpose, that's the pursuit of life, is to bring joy to my Father. Amen. Listen, when we serve self, we resist God. Our purpose is to bring joy to God's heart. When we serve self, we resist God and we will break. Nobody can take that. I said, nobody can take that. We resist God by serving ourselves. Oh, I know the theology of today makes that such a popular thing. God wants you rich. God wants you, you're a king's kid. Amen. He wants you in a $1 million house. God wants you here. Let me tell you something. As he was in this world, so are we. There's going to come a time I'm going to walk on streets made out of gold. You listen to me. I'm going to sit on the throne of this universe. Amen. That's right. I'm going to sit there in a world, mister, where there isn't anyone. I'm going to have more than I know what to do with. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. And the Bible said everything was made for him and made by him. There's 12 billion worlds out there. All of them was made for Christ. I'm a joint heir. They're counting my money. But I'm not on the throne this morning as he was in this world. Foxes had a hole, he had none. Birds had a nest, he had none. He came to do the will of God. He was buffeted by hell, but he walked with God, and the Bible says, I'm now being conditioned for that world. I'm being conditioned for that world. God is saying to me, whatever the storm is, whatever the storm is, this is the way. Walk in it. When we resist God, we break. That's depression. If you are honest, and the people you deal with are honest, you really begin to break it down. Break it down. You discover. I said, you discover. Somewhere back in that life, I remember an old gentleman, he's gone now. He's a wonderful old man. He worked for 40 years before he retired for the mobile. Every time there's a move of God, every time there's a great moving of the Holy Spirit, people were convicted, like weeping. I could expect that. He'd come. Always. He'd tell me the same story. I always listened. I could have said, look, I've heard that so many times. But he'd come weeping. He said, Brother Clinton, when I was a young man, God called me to preach. I was saved when I was just 18 or 19. And God called me to preach and said I wanted to preach. I went to the superintendent at that time of the Assemblies of God at Texas. And he told me we didn't need any more preachers. I said, well, let me tell you, brother, that's what he said. But if God must have needed more preachers, he wouldn't call you. Amen. You let your case rest with a man and not God. But he would say to me, when I retire, I'm gonna go. When I retire, I'm gonna go. He never went anywhere. He died, never went anywhere. But there couldn't be a move of God that he wasn't the most depressed and broken. I wept. I said, brother, listen, if the call is still there, for God's sake, why don't you go preach? Caleb preached at 80. Joshua fought till he's nearly 100. Do it, don't talk it no more. But you see the whole problem. The whole problem. God sent. God sent you. This is what I want you to do. Never do it. 40 years later, he was spasmodic in church. He couldn't stand it. For the Spirit of God to touch him. Because it always come back this way. Always. I see him now. And God would move. The presence of the Lord to be felt. And I'd know that he's going to come. Because God had talked to him. Third step. That retirement out there. More important than joy. God. It's the security of a life. It's only promised 70 years. Again, please, and again, that you're going to be around with us. You're not going to miss nothing this day. Whatever you miss, you ought to miss it. Because it would have messed you up. Some of you are sitting here, some of you are talking. God was talking to you. Some of you are back. You know you're not where you once was with God. Talking. Truth, knowledge, always brings responsibility. Some of you listening to me here in this room, I've been this telling you about me. God's going to deal with you tonight. He is dealing with you to get it right, to be saved, to come back, straighten up. If you don't, it's going to be a frustration city if it hasn't already. It's going to lead to depression, to worship. Basically, it's the cause of a depressed spirit to miss. Existence, Holy Ghost. I give you.